It's good to be home, and I'm going to do more on that later. Anybody ever watch television series? Don't shout out what it is. Ever watch television series? You ever have a series that you're like into, and it gets on, and all of a sudden you're watching it, and then you've been watching it for like 10, 15 minutes. All of a sudden it goes whoop to the intro. Like, dude, that was the longest intro in the world. I thought the show was on. Anybody? Thank you. Washington, I appreciate that one. So today's going to feel a lot like that. I've not been behind the pulpit in about 4 weeks. So strap on. We're going somewhere this morning. I really feel like buckle up, buttercup. We're going somewhere. And I want to get there well. So I needed worship today desperately. I know we're supposed to give worship, but I also get so much more than God possibly could. That's how it feels to me. I'm giving him love, but I feel like I'm getting way more in return. Yeah, so, and I needed it this morning because our topic's going to be the Dear John love letters. It's going to be about love letters. Yeah, it's going to be like chapter one, we'll hopefully get to today. It's going to be the remix. And I say the remix because I really feel like God wants to refresh us and restore us in our first love. In this series, the Dear John letters, full disclosure, I have to be honest with you. Not only is it a long intro, as I was going through my notes, and I've been traveling, and it's been more challenging on my time, I realized this series prep has caused me to be stretched. Yeah, really. First, you guys know, I love to preach out of the Amplified Version. I believe it's kind of the most accurate translation. I like to do that. And I'm going to be doing a lot of New Living today. Yeah. Why am I doing that? Because sometimes things just need to be simple. Sometimes we lose some very important information when it gets overcomplicated. Like, if you're going to give me directions to your house, don't give me too many at once. Dr. Heidi cannot tell me what my schedule is for counseling this week, Glenn. She can't give me the whole week. She can only give me Tuesday. Why? You give me more than that? I'm going, I can't. I'm drowning. We can't do that. Don't do that to me. Simple. Let's simplify, you know? Yeah. I'm using the smorgasbord of New Living today. And that wasn't even my biggest stretch. Full disclosure, my biggest stretch was my pride. Yep. I had prided myself. I'm just being vulnerable. I prided myself on not ever redoing a series in 19 years. I was like, I never, ever, fresh off the presses, you know. And say pride is a problem. How many know that pride is a killer of relationships? Pride's a killer of relationships, right? So here we are being refreshed in 1 John, a series that I did a few years ago. But it's remixed, refreshed, and way different. Why am I doing it? It seems timely to me. Dear John, a.k.a. represents a study of the first books of 1 John, chapter 1 through 5. Take it easy. I'm only going to do chapter 1 today, hopefully. I'm not going to plow through. But I believe Dear John letters have some clues on how to stay in love. Amen. Clues on how to stay in love with God and others. Staying in love. Remember when you fell in love first time? Man, stay in love with God. You think you're never going to forget that feeling, right? Remember the day of your salvation like it was yesterday. I remember the mess I was. We can go back to that spot. It helps me when I'm feeling where you at, God. If I got a little attitude, it's easy for me to find love again when I go, well, I remember where I was when you found me. Right? But I want to look at something deeper than that. More thoughts on how to stay in love with God and just remembering our salvation. How many know this? There's a question. How many know that maintaining love is harder to do than falling in love? True. Maintaining love is way harder to do than falling in love. Way harder. Ask Dr. Huddy. She's had to deal with me for a long time. You know? And ethos counseling, how I make my money, how Dr. Huddy and I make our money, what we do for the kingdom of God, is mostly predicated on people not maintaining their love. They rarely come to us pre-marriage, but post-marriage, we get a lot of counseling. Why? Because maintaining love is harder. Falling in love can be easy, right? This series, Dear John Letters, is like a small reminder that we should look at his word like it's a collection of love letters. And to me, that's some obvious sometimes. In some letters, it's not so obvious like that. Don't seem very loving. He's trying to protect you, boy. He's being hard with you because he loves you. Our series comes from John's dear love for God, Apostle John, and God's dear love for John. Right? It's really hard, you know, especially as I'm driving in today. This is how I feel like we are with God. And this is not you. Just go, Pastor, you got a problem. But at times, we want to place our conditional love on God, whose love is unconditional. We place conditional love on God all the time, but his love is unconditional. He saved us from an unconditional situation. He reached into some of our nastiness where we just, and he did that. But when we come to love him, we got conditions. Well, if you love me, you'll do exactly what I say. God, if you love me, if you love me, it's all about me. So let's sing a worship song where he loves me. Right? They're popular, you know? That's not even on the notes. I'm in trouble, Pastor Sherry, and you're not looking at me. But these things that we're going to learn in these love letters also aren't just applicable to God, but our significant others and our attitudes towards humans in general. Some things in our life and in his word, we need regular reminding of. So as I thought, well, I preached this 3 years ago. I was like, yeah, like anyone remembers that? True. I didn't. We need to have some stuff repeated often. Right? I'm the kind of guy, like, if you give me directions, I'll ask you 4 times. And you'll say, write them down. I did somewhere, you know, but I forgot them already. You know the stuff, the things in his word that you never wanted to get lazy in. Remember? Remember you found something in his word, you go, I changed my life forever. I'm going to do that. And I'm never going to get lazy in that. God, I'm going to... You're going to be my first, my second, and my third love. And I'm going to give all my, you got everything. Send me to Africa. Right? But what happens? We get lazy. Say, don't get lazy. All the lessons that we once learned or heard or saw, that very important information, we swore we'd never forget. But who thinks it's good to get a refresher in that stuff? Yeah, I needed it. This is stretch me. Some things are so very important, so essential, we got to be reminded. So it's good to get reminders of how we can best love God. Because I feel like as Christians, we're always presenting how God loves us to people, and we should, how God so loved the world, right? We're pouring that, we're trying. But I think we get so caught up in that, we forget he wants to be loved. And he's actually the priority over other things that we prioritize. But I also don't want to just apply it to God. I really feel like we can best show our love to our spouses can come out in this series. How we can show better love to our parents, to our friends, to our children, to other humans. Say amen. It's those humans we got to think about, you know. So before 1 John, because it's been a minute, I have some flashback verses. Jeff, not that kind of flashback. I'm talking about flashback verses. All right. In this Dear John Letter series, I want to start in Mark 12, 28 as some basis before we get into the Dear John Letters. Mark 12, 28 says, one of the teachers, is through 31, by the way, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate, and he realized Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, so not just the big, see, the Hebrew people had a lot of commandments. There's the big 10 we're familiar with, but if you go through and read the Torah, most of it is commandments of stuff. Like, don't eat that, don't mix that, don't marry her, don't marry him, don't do that, do this. So of all the commandments, this guy's saying, of all of them, which is the most important? And Jesus replied, the most important commandment. So the most important commandment is this. He says, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. You can gulp right there. Some of us minds have issues. Right? Some of our minds had issues. And with all your strength. I wrote a note here. I won't be cruel, but it says read it 7 times real slow till they're uncomfortable. But I won't do that. But it says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Jesus said that's the most important thing. Does he really get that? That's hard focus for me sometimes. Anybody have a hard time living up to that on a regular? It seemed easier when I first got saved. I'm serious. When he first arrested, I'll go anywhere, Lord. Send me to the jihad. I'll give my head. I'll turn the other cheek 7 times before they take my hat off. I was all in. And I felt like I'm always all in. And then this week I got just hit with a simple question. Would you do this? Like, oh. And I was just joking. I said, if God ever sent me to New York City and I had to put a ministry there, I think he hated me. Don't do that. I'm not up with all that people's situation. Send me to Tutu Wheels. Send me to Nuu. It's tiny. Put me with the least amount of people. I'll love the tiny amount of people that live there. And I realized, oh, here you are, serving him over 35 plus years, and now you're putting conditions on your love again. Boy, don't we do that in our relationships too? The second, and Jesus rolls right into it, right? The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Love the Lord with all your heart, strength, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Just setting some background before we get in. Much love from God. Jesus is saying that he confirmed the value of God needing love, right, as the most important thing. Look, he didn't say the most important thing is you get loved. That's how we hear it. You're hearing that? You're supposed to be loving me. This is about spouses, too. No. So I'm the church. He talking to me. Okay. Jesus is confirming some stuff. So the most important thing we're supposed to do is show our devotion and our love. And then Jesus said, maintaining love for others also is a top priority. Say, maintaining love is important. Now, no hands here. Try to look straight ahead. Let this roll off you. Don't show this emotion, okay? No hands. But has anyone ever been in a loveless relationship? Or the love was there but has since moved on? I know. It's a tough one. It's like, Pastor came back from study break angry. No. He didn't. I felt urgent. I felt love leaving the earth. Not in a good way. And the Lord was talking to me about it. I get emotional about that because it impacts me. Like, if you're not emotionally involved, are you in love? You can't be unemotionally involved in being love. And so God needs that from us as well, right? Maybe you started in a relationship well, but it fizzled up or ended badly. Anybody? Bueller? Anyone? Yeah. Man, it started off. Woo! This is nice. Oh, yeah. You're the one. Uh-huh. Forever together. 10 minutes after honeymoon. I don't even know why I did this. Right? I've been in marriage counseling a long time. Trust me, some of these stories are real. Some of the problem in our show God love and others love is going to be found in Philippians 4:9. We'll go there as we're setting up some foundation. Philippians 4:9. This is, I think I amplified. No, I didn't. In my notes, it's amplified, so I could just follow with me if I read it weirdly. The things which you have learned, Philippians 4:9, the things that you have learned, there's past. You ever learn something, then you just forgot it? Yeah. Like, there are certain math things. Don't talk to me about it. I took a few years of Spanish, but don't ask me to communicate too long. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice. Practice. Say practice. It says practice these things. What things? Practice these things in daily life. Here's my question. Is your love weak, sick, or lost? maybe it's time to ask ourselves some questions. You have to admit that. Maybe it's time to really ask ourselves questions. Did I stop practicing the love that I already learned to show? I feel without love. Wait, have you stopped practicing the love that you're supposed to show? Daily. Well, no one's loving me. Who are you loving? You may be loving them, but you're supposed to be loving him. You may be loving her, but you're supposed to be loving him first, then her. Who are you loving? Are we practicing those things in daily lives? Again, I feel like I could just stop right there and close. Right? Still, even if I close, you know what happens? Most likely, you already know the things, the what's you got to do. Like right now, some people are like, man, I got to get back to that. I promised her back rub every night. It's been since 1972. Man, he asked me to, you know, once in a while to make dinner. And dinner? We don't even need dinner no more. Right? Things. Things you go, well, I got to get back. I made a commitment. That's what love was for them. Right. Us doing the stuff we need to do to show others love more. Say, this message is not for someone else. This message is not for someone else. It's not. I think sometimes our lacking giving love is because we don't even take long enough to think about what we're not doing. We're just thinking about what we're not getting. And that'll stick you in a really bad loop. It says, practice these things in daily life, and the God who is the source of peace, God is the source of peace and well-being, will be with you. Say, love should be practiced. He says, practice these things daily. Then the God who's all the source, right? He will be with you. And I started thinking about that. That seems conditional, Lord. If I practice this, then you'll be with me. And I started thinking about it in a different way. It hit me this week. I went, wow, just like us, he wants to be where love is shown to him, the way he wants it shown. Oh, that's why we're made in his image. We want love shown to us the way that we want love shown. That came from one source, God. But we forget to give him the love the way he wants and to show it the way he wants and to make it the priority he wants. He says, when you do that, I'll be with you. Why? Because I'm getting love, baby. You love me. I want to be around you. Yeah, right? Dear John is a repeat, a reminder, a refresh of our love for him and them. The message today seemed urgent to me. And I really felt so we don't have any regrets. Everyone's talking about end times and different things. Let God be God, and I'm going to do my best to love him and love people till he cracks the sky, you know, or calls me up from the grave. But I felt that if we don't share this message, I don't want to reteach it, re-preach it. I actually want to talk with you. I want it to be like a conversation that we're going to have during this series, I hope. I felt like it's urgent, Randy. I did. I felt like you got to do this. Why? Because they have to know. It's hard to point out people in counseling like you lost your first love and your second too. Why? Because you're so focused on you. No one ever wants to hear that. They can save themselves $125 an hour. They put that one thing into practice. Say practice. Right, maintaining is the hard part, right? So are you stuck in a bad loop in your life? Maybe your love feels worn out. Maybe you feel stuck in a familiar old routine. That's doubly tough, right? Because you get so familiar with something, not only do you not love it anymore, you start to despise it, right? Yeah. Familiarity, it says, breeds contempt. At least it means it goes, well, I didn't even notice the love you're giving me. I'm so familiar with it. I expected it. And then I just came to a place where I don't need it. God says, I feel that sometimes from my bride. Yeah. Right. Do you have a hard time showing and feeling love and compassion for anyone else? Is it hard to muster love up lately? It's hard when we focus on ourselves, for sure. But are you stuck in a loop of always knowing everything? Anybody stuck in a loop of always knowing everything? It's a tough loop to be in. Or maybe we know things. We know a lot of things. I know that chapter. I know that verse. I know that. I've been taught that. I know that. I know those things. But do we practice the things that we know? I know how to lose weight and get ripped. I'm not practicing it very well. Got to get back to practice. Don't come on, you skinny handsome fellow. You can't raise your hand during that one. That's not you. Shh. Come on. I'll punch you, Andrew. Don't even try. No, I know it says if we know things we don't practice, and that sounds cold. But if you're mature, it's a very important question you should ask yourself. Like, this series should be an important question for you. Examine your own self during the series. I'm having to as well. So you can just say, Fafatai, Pastor, which means thank you very much, and then commit yourself to doing it God's style. Some things we need to hear again and again and again and again, over and over and over until we get it down into our souls, right? So Dear John's a mini-series. It's an adaptation, like I said, from something I've done a little bit before. I know that you guys memorize that, and you're going to be probably bored, but try not to be. You're like, know this so much, I'll be passing out. Please try to stay with me. Because I want you to hear it on all the levels, between you and God, and emotionally, and spiritually, and physically, and relationally, because life is getting shorter. And it's time to win in the season you're in. Yes, you're from America, you can borrow that one. It's time to win in the season you're in. And what's a win? What do we call a win? What's important now? What's important now? Yeah, that's the win. What is important now? You can go, well, I want a house later, and I want this and that. Yeah, but you got kids. You better feed them first. You're having a hard time doing that. You're looking so far into the thing. No, what's important now? I'm going to be president someday. You know what you ought to do then? You ought to lead at your local church and help them out do things before you be president of the United States. Right? Do what's now so you can have it then. And we don't get that. Say, what's important now is love. That's the most important thing we got right now. Why? Because God is love, and he's asked for all of it from us, and then he asks us to give it away to others. So what's important now in this season we're in is love. Don't forget that. Please don't forget that. That's my reminder, you know, over and over again. My crazy long intro. I told you it was an intro. Look it. It was an intro. Hi, I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi. I'm the senior pastor of the church. It's been a minute since I've been here. You guys are well taken care of by our amazing pastoral staff of teachers. We're so blessed here. We're spoiled, to be honest with you. We are so spoiled with the talent and gifts that we have. We are like, why are you such a little church? Because I like it that way. Big church, big problem. I'm just telling you, I'm soft in my old age. And so I'm so impressed with not just our teachers, but you guys have no idea. We're up to the Love of Flame Conference in Washington, convention in Washington. Don't start. At the convention in Washington, and we're up there, and we weren't even there, it felt like 8 minutes, and our worship team was asked to go lead worship. They brought no instruments, no practice, no nothing. They're just like, they're in their hoodies going, we chose a convention. You know, just, ah, we're loving it. And they stepped up and were so impressive. It was beautiful. Like, it was beautiful, and I was so proud of them. You guys have been so proud of them. It really was amazing. I want to acknowledge some things, too, that's really important. It's time to step up your prayers for Israel if you're not. Like, seriously, put time in for that. And, you know, embarrassingly enough, the Ukraine's at war, too. Are we putting any time in there? We forgot about it, right? Really? Because it doesn't affect me. It says your gas prices, it definitely does. How about we pray in general as humans for other humans and the rest of this message? That's my commercial break. Father, today we lift up Israel. We lift up spiritual Israel, natural Israel, the Israel in this room, and the Israel around us, Father God, wherever your church is, your people, Father, we lift them up today. And I pray that I would do this message so well for you that it inspired change in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear John, the refreshing of love. Why do I say Dear John letter? Exactly what comes to mind when I say Dear John. Usually it's a bad thing, right? Yeah, something like this. Dear John, if you don't know, is one of those typical things. It means something like, Dear John, See ya. It's not me. It's you. What? No, it's not me. It's you, John. Bye. That it's being broken up with in a little letter of the time. Dear John, you could have been better. Sayonara. That's a dear John. I don't know if you ever got a dear John letter before, but we'll talk about that maybe. But I don't want you to hear the dear part like that. I want you to hear it as dear John. Ever have people in your life that are just dear, like you just love to hear from them? No matter where you're at, what time, you'll just take a hug. They could interrupt you a phone call and go, yeah. Right. Someone that's dear. These are God's letters written by his dear John. Someone that was dear to Jesus wrote these letters. Now, John's known as the brother of James, and he's known as the disciple, and the apostle, and the revelator. But his greatest title is John the Beloved to me. Right? Dearly loved was one of his best titles. He was a legend. You realize he's one of the only original 12, other than Judas who hung himself, but only original 12 who didn't die by martyrdom. But they tried to kill him. They tried to boil him in oil. Didn't happen. So I want to submit to you something about John. The reason he submitted his life to all those things is because of love. Say, because of love. Because of love, that's why he didn't recant and say, I'm not going to deny Jesus. Go ahead and boil me in oil. He didn't know he was going to survive a boiling. He watched all his other friends die. What sends you to boiling oil? Only love. So I get embarrassed when I tell him things I won't do anymore. Someone else, there's Andrew's younger, send him, man. Send him to put him out there in manure. He'll love it. Like, I'm being conditional with my love again. Do you feel that? Yeah, it's a tough place. Because of love, great love, he didn't turn when he was banished to prison. Man, just rat out Jesus, and you're scot-free. Just deny who he is. You got no deal with none of that. But because of love, John said yes. Say, because of love. Because of love, he was banished and isolated to work in the mines at an old age. All because of love. John's dearness came from giving God. Remember we talked before? Heart, soul, strength. He gave God the love and showed God the love that God really wanted as priority. That's why he was beloved. The point is, I guess, John had a long record of having a top-notch relationship with God. Jesus called him the beloved one. I welcome you to say this with me. Say, I am the church now, and I want a top-notch relationship. Right? This mini-series remix is how to really avoid getting a bad Dear John letter. Right? It really is. How to avoid a bad letter. And to help us become maybe more dear, a more dear Sean, a more dear Sharon, a more dear Jody, right? A more dear Vincenzo, I don't know, to the one that we're supposed to be more dear to, and then the ones that we're supposed to be more dear to, right? Say, Dear John. I don't know, have you ever gotten a bad Dear John letter? If you got a bad Dear John letter, they're terrible. Right? They're terrible. But have you ever feel like you gotten a bad Dear John letter from John, God himself? Yeah. Now listen, it doesn't mean it's true. I know that that's not true. But have you ever felt that way? He kind of just wrote you off because you are a numbskull? Yeah. 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 Have you ever felt broken up with by the church? His bride ever felt like he broke up with you in a rough way? Yeah, I bet. Or maybe you've done that to someone else, Dear John style. You're like, don't, Pastor, move on. I Dear John someone else. Right? Pastor Sharon, you must have at least. Dear John letters are often rough, and they feel like you get blindsided. I didn't see that coming. You get caught off guard, right? But if we're really honest, in the church this morning, after your head clears from those moments, in hindsight, maybe you knew things were off in your relationship and you never called it out.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe. Say maybe. Maybe you could have put in more effort. Oh, I walk over here because these guys are putting in effort. I'll just look at the lovebirds. Maybe the rest of us could have put in more effort. Maybe. Maybe. I'm just saying. Maybe, honestly, not only could have put in more effort, maybe I should have put in more effort, but didn't. And you settled for comfortable in your relationship. I'm talking about God, you guys. And I'm also talking about others. Now, brother, two most important things. You settled for comfortable, but it didn't become too comfortable for too long. Right? I guess other people probably come to you and said, I saw it coming. Always. Always. Others can see things of you not putting in the love effort that you need to do. Others can always see what you're not doing. Let's talk to the others for a second. You ready for others? Say, hey, others, please get your eyes off me and start checking out the log in your own eye. Others. But sometimes others get it right. Right? Often they saw things way before they admitted they were going to say something. Right? They saw you getting the axe from that relationship, but they pretended they didn't. And then all of a sudden, you just stopped living like he was your real priority. Maybe we stopped showing him we care for him more than we care for ourselves. Maybe we decided to concentrate on us for a season and lost track of him. Say, no, Pastor. Don't go on study break anymore. God in his words and his commands tells us to keep the love fresh, right? This series is more like applying relationship principles to the relationship and relationships. Practicing love, right? God's word is the great source of relationships. And so I want to get into some of the scriptures here. Dear John gives us a lesson on how to stop destroying our faith, how to stop destroying our relationship with him, and how to stop destroying our relationship with others. It's an important letter. 1 John 1 through 2. There's not that many verses, so you can relax. I'll get you out in time for food. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and have seen. So I'm stopping there and say, have you yourself had encounters with God? And if you haven't, I'm encouraging you, this is the season, seek an encounter with God. Because it's essential. If you don't have an encounter with God, then you don't know him. If you've never got a realization that Jesus died for me and all my mess, then you don't know him. This is a season you got to get to know him. And they're saying, we saw him. We heard him with our own eyes. And we touched him with our own hands. Have you ever been rescued by God? I've been rescued, man. He saved me. So it makes perfect sense that touching with our hands, seeing with our own eyes, it makes perfect sense that he requires both quality and quantity love. Let me explain that. We talk about in Ethos about quality and quantity. You could be loved real good one day and not like one day we're like, whoa, I just got so much love that day. Woo, that was awesome. And then not be loved for another 30 days. And that relationship is not going to work out. Love once in every 30 days, even though the quality was fantastic. And you get a whole lot of quantity of garbage and you don't want it. But God wants quantity and quality from us because everyone who wants love wants that. And we're built in his image. And he said love's the number one thing. And he said, I want you all in. And then I want you to love others just like you want love yourself. Love's important, quality and quantity. It says he is the word of life, the one who is life itself. Jesus was revealed to us and we have seen him. And now we testify. There comes a time that you have to open your mouth. Doesn't matter your temperament's quiet. I'm actually a quiet guy, believe it or not. But you got to testify with your life sometimes. Your love has to become visible. You know, look over there. Visible love going on. Right? You see that love? I see that love. But I've also seen love with people taking garbage out of this church and throwing it in the dumpster for me. Yeah. I could cry over that kind of love. I just think love has to be seen if it's real love. Like, we've been together, but I never know that they really love me. They never show me love, but they say it. How long is that going to last? It can last 50 years of misery. It can be. There comes a time. You got to open your mouth and show love. And proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. So personally, 1 John 1, 3 through 4. And I had the message here. And again, forgive me. Oh, thank you. Thank you. We saw it and we heard it. And now, say now. Remember, some things happen in the now. We always get caught off guard with that, but I'm asking us during the season to keep our eyes open. Because now is what we have, right? And now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. Say, God is best experienced, right? Experience God is vital. This experience of communion with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Motivation's everything. But sometimes I wonder what our motivation really is. Your joy, it says, will double our joy. Your joy makes me twice as happy. Is that our motivation for other people? Do we want God to do crazy blessing times two for others? I had a vision this morning, dude, a vision. I was pondering. That's a pretty strong word. I was pondering. I didn't get caught up in the third heaven or anything. I was just praying, you know? And I was thinking about Verna this morning. Because this is kind of message she lived out and loved out. You know, she's like, pfft. And I just pictured her on this top of like, and I don't picture heavenly treasure like this very often, but I picture in this like Bugs Bunny pile of giant treasure. And she's up there with the crown tilted right, you know, and I'm standing on this little tiny pile of treasure and I'm looking at her. And this is what I heard. I could picture her saying this to me anyways this morning. It wasn't like, "Oh, pastor, look at me. I wasn't even a pastor, and you got a tiny pile of treasure. Look at my pile of treasure. I've been waiting to say this to you when you got up here." I didn't feel that from her. What I did feel was, "Pastor, can you believe my treasure? Do you want some?" And I could see her sliding down the pile like a little kid. Yeah, ducktailing it. Woo, ducktail, woo, Scrooge McDuck, happy again, you know. I'm just saying, is our motivation that? Do I want my friend to not be tormented anymore? And I pray for their deliverance constantly. Do I want them to have a greater encounter with God than I even had? Do I want to see them more prosperous? Them more prosperous. Do I want to get them promoted? Do I want them to find true love? Am I happiest when others have joy? That's something to think about. Right? Because here's maybe a reason that we get Dear John letters from people. Jealousy chases people away. Always. Always does. Now is the time to change that. 1 John 1, 5 through 7, we're back in the New Living. Thank you, Lord, crushing the time. This is the message we heard from Jesus. Pulling over right there, Miss Erica. Pulling over right there. This is the message we heard from Jesus. I'm talking to the church. If you're the church, just go, "Yeah, it's me." When is the last time that you heard from Jesus about you? When's the last time that you went to Jesus about your life and heard from him? And if we haven't, I recommend that become the most urgent thing you do. No other thing is going to be greater than that, than hearing from Jesus yourself. Remember the first time you ever did? Remember that? How it impacted you to this day? Because you said, like, right now, when I look at you, go, "I remember." It brings me to tears that he would even show up to talk to me. And it was the greatest thing in the world. I never wanted to separate myself from that. And then how many days can I go without talking? Really, I could talk to Jesus, but we're not in a conversation. We're not in communion. I'm telling him stuff that he should do. Conditional love. If you love me, bless Jody. If you love me, fix this. If you love me, Jesus, this is what I need. That was a great conversation. He said, I don't feel the love in that. And actually, not to be haughty, but I should be the first one that feels the love and sees the love and has the love from you. Yeah. This is the message that we heard from Jesus. And now we declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Say, there is no darkness in him at all. Pastor Sharon, you're going to have to temper me here if I'm feeling too sarcastic. And I'm on the border with Dr. Heidi anyways back there, so just keep me here. Okay. Ready? No darkness. Say no darkness. If that's true, if there's no darkness in God, then we have to stop blaming any of our misfortunes, our bad decisions, and the consequences of self-living on God's cruelty to you. God's just putting me through this, is he? There's no darkness in him. I can't believe he's caused me all this trouble. There's no darkness in him. He must saw something in you. I guess you got to get it ground out. Put me through. Oh, you know, put me through the wine press. Sounds beautiful. Wine press. I'm squeezing the grape till it's crushed up and nothing but juice. You know, sometimes I needed those moments. But the darkness didn't come from him. It was what he's getting out of me. Right? Yeah. And then I wrote this little note, be nice. There is no, thank you. There is no darkness in him, so we are lying. I didn't write this. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. If you're in love, why are you living so far away from each other? We are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. Say the truth and love must be practiced. It's got to be practiced, or it doesn't mean anything. Lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness, we are not practicing the truth. John isn't being cold, he's being honest. Like, and you want honesty from a love letter. You don't want fake love. You don't want love you can't stand on. It needs to be real. Right? Then we have fellowship. What? If we are living in the light as God is in light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And he partakers of that. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. If we practice living in God's light, we say that, then it's going to show. The worst thing it could be said of you is, I didn't know they were a Christian. That means he didn't know you, and you weren't changed, and you weren't like him, and no one saw any of that love. Whew. It will show if Jesus is in there. I got a slide. I think I got a slide to make it happen. It will show that Jesus is in us. If you got him, it's only natural that you let him out. If you got him, you let him out. You can't wait to let Jesus out in situations. You need prayer? I can let him out. You need a hug? Let him out. You see someone at Walmart with a bad day? Buy their groceries. Let him out. Like, if Jesus is in there, he's let out. That's our job. Preach the gospel. Let him out. So if he's not coming out, you got to question if you got him in. And if not, make that your urgent request. Time to get refreshed in our love. It's grown stale, maybe. And this is supposed to be the season that love's the greatest in us, right, Jody? This has got to be our season. We got to amp our game up. 1 John 1:8-10. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves. I just hear the who there. Don't get fooled again. Don't get fooled again. Don't think the same thing you learned, didn't you? Remember the things you learned? Huh? Yeah, I told you that's going to be a problem. What? You didn't learn that? No, that's going to be a problem. Don't get fooled again. Stop fooling ourselves. If we claim we have no sin, we're not living in the truth. The truth is meant to be lived in, not just talked about. Yeah. And it's really hard because our society, listen, if I were God, I'd remove all sin. I don't care what y'all do. But he does because he loves us more than that. So we live in a society that wants to call things that are sin, not sin. and make us look like we're radical lunatics when we say those things. But what we're really trying to do is stay in love and promote love, right? So we have to admit it's a thing in our lives. If we confess our sins to Him, I'm not sinning, I'm not doing anything, I'm fine. If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all wickedness. There's nothing that He can't go, I got you, baby, I love you. That's good, we're good. Thank you for confessing that to me. I've been waiting. I love you so much. Yeah, you're going to have to go be nice to Nana because you're awful mean to her in the doorway. That's your penance. All right. He'll tell you to do stuff to fix that love, but didn't mean He didn't cleanse us from it. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar. Look to your left, say this, that's not a good idea. Look to your right, go, not a good idea. Don't do that one. Calling God a liar is not a recommendation, okay? And showing that His word has no place in our hearts. So if we look to Him daily, if we look to His word daily, remember it says daily practice, if we did look to Him daily, and we really took time, He'd clearly show us the stuff we need to remember. Quantity and quality in our love needs to amp up this year. He needs more of our time and needs to be better. Amen. I love you all. So don't avoid reading His stuff that convicts you sometimes. It will improve your love. Don't avoid it. If we had His word in our hearts, we'd live our lives like it was true. And that's what the world needs more than ever. They need authentic Jesus being coming out of our lives, even during hard things. He was reminding me in my weakness, He's strong. It reminds me of that a lot. But the first place I learned it, and I'm going to be brief here, I got some time, was in American Samoa when I thought I was dying of dengue fever and I'm in a terrible place. I'm laying on the floor feeling super sick and really thought I was checking out. So I was praying for my family. I really thought I was checking out. And I'm in the hospital, which I don't like to go to. And for any reason, other than the drop-off presents for kids. Other than that, I'd hate that because then they're sick. I don't like them. So here I'm in the hospital and sicker than a dog. And Jordan's with me. He can testify to this. I'm not making up a story. I got to go to the bathroom. I'm holding onto this pole because I can't walk myself. I'm wiped out. 3 days since I've eaten. Everything I ate for the last 50 years came out of me. So I'm like, right? And I'm just no strength. And so Jordan walked me to the bathroom, and I stopped, and he looked at me like, you're okay? And I said, I need to go pray for that girl. And I felt like this look at his face. Are you nuts? First of all, are you contagious? What's, like, don't go bother that girl. You're sick. You're delusional right now. Maybe you got a fever. And I said, oh, I got to go pray for that girl. And I prayed for her, and God healed her, but I didn't get healed. He just needed to show me in my weakness, if I'll obey, it's all about Him. Always all about Him. Always all about Him. Say, I'm the church, and I'm stepping up now. So in our recap, to keep from getting a bad Dear John letter from the one and the ones that we love, we got to keep the relationship fresh. It's got to be daily fresh. And it's got to start right now. Right? It's necessary to spend quality and quantity time with Him. You got to see Him, you got to hear Him, you got to touch Him, base daily. You want your love for God to increase, then put time in daily with Him, right? You want to see relationships increase in your life, put some more quality time into your date night spouses. You really want to see it impact your kid's life, and instead of just telling them to do stuff, spend time with them. Go get on the floor and play. Quality and quantity, there's not one's better than the other. Both are necessary. And God says, I want them from you during this season. And if you'll do that, I'll change your life again. The second thing I want us to remember is to know yourself, how God really feels. Because it's His opinion alone that matters. I'm full of opinions, but if they're not God's, they just don't matter. Right? And then I really want us to change our life in this aspect. I want us to start living like His feelings do matter most. And we start applying that. Information, right, plus application equals change. We just get all the information in the world, there's no change. So if that spoke to you at all today, any of that, and you need prayer for any relationship issues, especially God, I want to welcome you to stand up. It may be marital, it may be parental, it may be dear friends, but I feel like he's working on our relationships this year. And not to point out where we're, because hey, you got an issue or a problem. He goes, no, I love you. I want to heal that. I want to see that. Great. But I need you to be loving the world. Like, I need that relationship fixed. Why? So I can go send you to other people. I need your love to increase. Why? So I can change the world. I had a song, I think, back there. If you got deep waters, you can play it for me. If not, I'm going to pray anyways. Father, we're your church. We're your bride. And I realize that often our relationships are one-sided. I receive all the love and I give a fraction. So, Father, I'm asking to draw more love out of us this year that need to give more love away. And we wouldn't do it on dry and empty tanks, Father. We would be spending quality and quantity time with you that we could have that. We'd become dear Sean. We'd become dear Jacob. We could become that dear one for you this year because we're not afraid to give you it all. We're not putting conditions on your unconditional love anymore. We want to live unconditional ourselves. So every effort that we put in this year, you'd magnify that and draw us to that love, Father. Spark us and woo us again. We're so fragile. We need to be sparked. So I'm asking that today would be a spark to new love. Refreshed love, Father. I pray for marriages to be stronger than they've ever been in your church, especially new season. Lord God, I pray that marriages would be restored, refreshed, renewed, relationships, new relationships would be cultivated. Father, that brothers and sisters would know the real love of God for one another. How would they know that their love, the way we love one another, Father, that would increase in us this year. Our love capacity and our love giving would increase. Change our relationship with you to another higher level and change our relationship with other people.
Take me deeper.
Deeper this year. In Jesus' name. Amen.